When the number of COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. jumped from 400,000 to 500,000, you might not have felt that different about it. But losing 100,000 more lives in just a little over a month is a lot. Psychologists say that in the face of large-scale tragedies, we can experience psychic numbing. Research shows that as deaths go up, our empathy can actually go down. So how can we change that within ourselves, and should we want to change that? Shyla Mergane is a psychologist at UW Health. She specializes in health psychology, among other areas. Shyla, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, some studies show that when the number of victims lost to a tragedy increases even from just one to two, our empathy doesn't necessarily go up. It may even go down a little. Can you talk about this phenomenon called psychic numbing?
Absolutely. And I think it really explains why so many of us feel a bit numb. The number of 500,000 deaths seems too big to get our heads and hearts around. I know that for myself, when we passed the death toll past 100,000, that was really vivid. And there was a sense of horror when they predicted over 250,000 deaths. But as the death toll keeps continuing to rise, many of us have become desensitized to it. We feel a sense of numbness. And part of that is adaptive, in that if we just felt overwhelmed by grief, we wouldn't be able to function. And it's really allowed how many of us to get through all the unpredictability of 2020. But there can be some negative consequences to psychic numbing. In particular, we can stop caring and stop following CDC safety guidelines and spread the disease.
I wonder, is there a right midpoint here? Because I'll speak personally. I wouldn't want to feel like I was numb to all this hardship and suffering. On the other hand, it doesn't do anybody good any good if I'm overwhelmed by it and devastated and constantly meditating on the tragedy here. I don't know, what is a healthy way to try to respond to that?
That's such a great question, because we don't want to be flooded to the point of incapacitation. Instead, I really encourage people to think about creating some space or a ritual where they can do some mourning. It's really grief work. And I think it's really at the core of our humanity. We don't want to become habituated to horror and really have respect for life and reverence for life and respect for death. And one example that University of Wisconsin recently was encouraging was Thursday mornings, MOURNINGS. And Omar Poehler, who's at the office of the provost in the School of Education, did this to acknowledge the immense loss and the death toll. So it's not just become a number, abstract and impersonal. And he sets aside and encourages others, and there's the University of Wisconsin is really spearheading this, for 10 minutes on a Thursday morning to stop and right at 10 o'clock and honor the lives lost to COVID. And in particular, what he does that I think is so personal is he takes a few moments to learn about the life of a stranger who had been lost or to COVID-19. So it really makes it personal, because as you said, if we think about, you know, 500,000 people, it feels so abstract. It's easy to just ignore it. But when you bring it home to the individual story, then it can really feel relatable, and we can have that compassion and empathy and do some of the grief work, which keeps us, I think, healthy as humans.
And that makes me think, too, we're talking about how we deal with this as individuals, but in normal times, we deal with a lot of our grief as groups. You know, we go to a funeral or memorial or wake or something like that. We're evolved in some ways to celebrate and to mourn together. How much has the loss of being able to do that, especially in person, made it harder for us to cope with this?
It's huge. And with psychic numbing, we don't want to become hardened to others around us, their losses. So we certainly are going to know people who have lost loved ones or our relatives to COVID-19, and we don't want to become hardened to that. And so many people are not having those rituals of funerals. And a really important point, the researcher David Kessler, who writes a lot about grief, he talks about grief requires witnessing. That we need somebody just to be present with the loss, not to fix it, not to point out the silver lining, but just to be there as a witness. And I think in our own grief work about COVID, just spending a little time bearing witness to the deaths deaths and the suffering and the magnitude, but also just to people in our lives who have experienced loss. Just be present with them. They don't need you to fix it or reframe it, just to be present. And that is really healing. That is, I think, good soul work for us to really open our hearts to one another and our common humanity.
I also wonder just if the human brain has the capacity to think in terms of hundreds of thousands. I mean, when a lot of our current faculties evolved, there weren't 500,000 people on the planet. And when we grow up, we don't grow up around 500,000 people. We grow up around a small group of individuals that we know well. Is this just something that in some ways is beyond our capacity?
I think that's such a great point. We struggle to comprehend large numbers. It's easy to understand the problem facing a single person. And that is why I think when the news really highlights an individual story, that feels really relatable versus just seeing the ticker of yet another 1,000 deaths today. That feels very not relatable. And so when we are thinking about this, trying to find the individual stories, seeing that person in front of you, making it personal can be much more easy to connect with and feel that compassion and empathy, which is such a core part of I think, again, our humanity.
Shaila, I want to key in on one particular group of people, the people who have seen a lot of the hardship up front, people who work obviously in healthcare, emergency rooms, hospices, things like that, who have had this daily toll of seeing individual people in front of them suffering. Do you have thoughts on them? I mean, I'm hearing stories about PTSD and worries about how this is going to affect people who have been through this on the front lines. What kind of thoughts do you have for them?
Oh, that's such a great question. And we are seeing a lot of burnout. And I was just reading an article about what was called the third wave of the pandemic, which means we're nearing the end. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel. But often when that happens, people can start to feel a lot of despair and despondency and stop engaging in that self-care and just feeling like they're at their wit's end, like they have nothing left to give. And so self-care is incredibly important. We're still in winter here in Wisconsin, and so many of our coping strategies aren't available to us. So just taking good care of yourself, eating well, sleeping well, reaching out to friends, trying to foster a positive attitude, to focus on what you can control. There's a lot that feels very uncontrollable still, but focus on those things that you can influence, such as following COVID-19 safety guidelines, fostering a little bit of joy, practicing gratitude, fostering habits, all that stuff can make a difference and keep ourselves resilient, which we're going to need for the next couple months till we're on the other side of this.
As we wrap up, can you, give people permission to take care of themselves and find joy? Because I think there might be some guilt in taking that moment to do that.
Absolutely. We can feel like, oh, we don't have time or there's too much to do. And so I just encourage people to think about spending even 5 minutes focused on your own self-care, thinking about one activity you can do, one action step, and also not to get isolated. This is time to really reach out for support and stay connected to one another.
Shaila, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's been a joy. Thank you.
Shaila Morgain is a psychologist at UW Health, where she specializes in health psychology. She talked to us about why it's hard for us to internalize and cope with, in some ways, the increasing number of deaths from COVID-19.